When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
I'll go to an observations if and when I want to go to an observations.
These.
Hey, I'm just here so I don't get fined.
Are knobs.
Playoffs? What are you talking about? Playoffs?
And this.
Have a nice fight, Mike.
Off. Is knobservations.
Oh, most certainly is. That pesky weather at Augusta. Rick, you and I were talking about this before the show. This is not part of knobs, by the way, just a thought.
So knobs hasn't officially started yet.
Not good for Tiger. Especially if he can't if he can't get his round in today. You're talking about playing like, I don't know, 20-something, some odd holes tomorrow.
I can't believe he didn't have morning tea time today, though.
Yeah, they didn't do him any favors anyways. No. So he's going to be playing probably, I don't know.
He's supposed to tee off at just the 124, I said?
Yeah, so now it's, he's not going to finish his round.
Doesn't feel like it.
But I don't understand why they wouldn't make it as easy for him as humanly possible.
Like, good question.
Like, isn't he the one person that you would want to be in the best situation?
As far as eyes on televisions?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, people, I mean, this is what makes it even more. Listen, I don't care who's playing in it. I love this week. But the fact that you got the live guys back and you actually have like the best field.
Because
you watch some of these PGA Tour events and it's like, come on, man. Like, we got to figure this out. I need.
You got the best of the best. You know what I meant to mention to you guys? RJ, can I mention something here, or
sure.
You want me to save it till later?
No.
So you'll appreciate this, and I forget who it was, but you know these stories really get to me. So there's a golfer who had brain cancer.
Yeah.
And who is that? Do you know who that is?
I do.
So he had brain cancer, and they showed, like, they thought he was going to die, and he made, like, these videos for his kid. He had young kids.
He had to write them letters, too.
Yeah, and his wife was weeping about it, and I get they went into the surgery, and he's okay now.
He's playing in the Masters.
Exactly. Well, I mean, I'll root for him. If I find out who in fact he is, I will root for him. What a story.
I know who it is, too.
Google it.
I don't need to Google it. I know who it is.
But you can't remember.
It's Gary Woodland.
There you go. The Woodlands.
That would have drove me crazy.
I totally understand why. But what you saw that piece
they did?
What a story.
It's unbelievable, man.
What an emotional story. So this is an interesting, you guys take it however you want. Why not stream it on Zoom so only the guys can see it, they record it, then they edit it, then they release it of you watching the Giants.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah, it's on the table.
Not a bad idea.
It's not bad.
I'll leave it up to you guys.
By the way, Gary Woodland, who you mentioned teeing off at 11:18, some of the new tee times, in case you are interested. Phil's at 12:06, Justin Thomas, 12:48. John Rahm, 1 o'clock now. Xander, 1:12. Tiger's at 3:54. There's some big names like Jordan.
I think it's supposed to rain later.
You know what's funny? I was going to ask you that. I was like, no. I'm going to ask what the forecast is, and then they're going to yell at me.
Chance of rain at
why would we
after
you?
4 tomorrow.
The weather doesn't look great overall.
There's some big names late, too. Tiger's 354. Jason Day's in his group. Brian Harman's 406. Brooks is 406.
I brought up the hourly weather in Augusta, Georgia. Would you like to hear it?
Look at you.
Wow, it's nice.
By the way, RJ, Brooks Koepka not happy. I've heard.
Why?
With his group.
Why?
Brian Harman and Tom Kim.
Because Brian Harman does like the 20 waggles before every shot.
Slow player.
It's very slow.
It doesn't look bad. It doesn't look terrible. I'm looking today. After 9 o'clock is kind of the peak, 78% chance precipitation. 10 o'clock, 34%. Then it goes down to 15, 14, 9. No, they should.
What about 4 p.m.-ish?
4 p.m.-ish, 5%.
Okay.
Later is worse. After 5, it goes up to 15, 7 o'clock, 24. But
what time are we looking at sunset?
Sunset, 7:50.
Ah.
Tomorrow looks fine as well.
Okay.
Well, those last two groups, then we actually get to Knobs. Those are some heavy hitters. It's Jordan, Thigala, and Ludwig, and then DJ Fleetwood and Morikawa.
Did you say Hegala?
Thigala.
Thigala.
I don't know. Who is that? I don't know who that is.
It's a person.
Well, you don't watch tennis. You don't watch golf.
But I know most of the golfers. No, who's Thigala?
It's an up and comer.
I'm not familiar with his
work. I could name.
Uh-huh.
RJ, what percentage of the players on the PGA Tour you think he knows now?
Percentage?
Yeah.
Like he could name or I'd name to him.
No, you could name to him. Like, okay, I've heard. If he was being honest, I would. Yep, that guy I know.
7%.
Right.
Of golfers?
Things have changed.
Things have changed.
No, I bet you I could name more than that. You'd say, you name a golfer. Let's see if I know who he is.
Minwoo Lee.
Never heard of him.
good start.
Real or fake golfer?
Nick Dunlap.
I think I've heard of him, but I don't feel overly confident.
No, you haven't.
Well, just the names we talked about are real players.
Like, Earl Hamm.
Harman, I know.
You know Brian Harman?
Yep.
Cam Young?
Nope.
You didn't know Thigala?
Nope.
Ludwig?
No, that sounds made up.
He's one of the good
young players. Honestly, is there a Ludwig, or are you trying to sell me on that?
No, he's one of the good young players.
Steve Ludwig?
No, Ludwig's his first name.
Ludwig von Beethoven.
All right. See, here's a problem.
He hits the ball a mile.
Here's a problem Ludwig? Here. I'm going to start talking, and then I know what's going to happen here in about 15 seconds.
Right.
So what I'm going to do, Dave,
uh-huh.
I'm going to walk it right up to you, because I'm going to get cut off by the legal ID, which is just the fame it's taken on inside the walls of ESPN is noteworthy.
Well, people love it. What I've done is I've taken a nothing and I've made it into a something. I think right there, that's
a nothing.
That's yeah. Just
Austin Eckroat.
No
chance.
Did you say Austin Eckler?
Eckler, I know, but I don't know Austin Eckro.
All right.
You got one more. You got one more. Give me one more.
Harris English.
No.
Patrick Cantlay.
Yes. Because nice. Every time I hear that name, I think like, oh, that's an odd name.
Xander Schauffele.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep. Look heard of you. Him. All right, RJ, this is what you want. This is what you'll get. You're listening to DiPietro and Rothenberg on 98.7 ESPN, WEPN-FM. Where?
New York.
See how nice that is, RJ?
That was nice. That was nice.
I was mid-sip, too.
I know, but I waited.
Battled through it.
By the way, when you were swirling around your drink like you so oddly
I want my own studio.
Everyone hears
I
it.
I want my own studio.
Raymond says in my ear, goes, what is that noise?
This has never happened before.
It's a mouth tornado.
that was with my mouth, yeah. They don't mix it right.
He puts his tongue in the opening and swirls it around. Right.
I'm out.
RJ,
honestly, hey. Now you're doing it. I'm out.
When something works.
That's what it is.
I'm out.
Greg McElroy, he was on This Is Football.
He puts his tongue
out. I'm done.
Very descriptive.
It's the opening of the coffee. I don't know what to tell you.
Now when you add coffee,
I'm going to have my fruit. You guys continue with your innuendos. I was a sickos.
Listen, it's an accurate depiction.
You lunatic.
Where your mind takes it is not my problem.
The fact that this comes with different grapes every time is unbelievable.
No, I noticed there were green grapes.
There's green grapes today.
Yeah.
But these are big grapes.
The size of that grape.
Yeah.
You're talking about big grapes now.
Give that thing the tornado.
I need sacks.
Where were we? Greg McElroy. So he was on This Is Football, and he spoke about why he has concerns about Caleb Williams.
I look at all the players that have been drafted, number one, number two, number three, way up there near the top of the draft, and seldom are the guys that ultimately go on to become elite players. Every single one of them has a gigantic chip on their shoulder. They're mad at the world, or they create some type of false narrative about themselves that people don't believe in them. Caleb Williams has never had that. I mean, Caleb Williams, from the time he stepped on campus at Oklahoma to the time he stepped on campus at SC, he has never experienced adversity. Very little adversity as far as how he was received and how he was portrayed as the next best guy.
So,
I don't know that that's fair, by the way.
Well, I guess you can decide.
Well, it's the point of contention here with this next little...
That's right. So, that was heard by Caleb Williams. And he responded on Twitter. So let's go back again because I'm bored right now. Adversity, and he defined it as a state of instance or serious or continued difficulty or misfortune. So then he listed off the adversity he has faced. Didn't start my freshman year. 2, popped my hamstring in the championship game first quarter. Lost because of it. And 3, went 7-5 my last year of college football. I kind of get what Greg is going for.
I don't like what Greg
says.
He was
in the stands crying with his mom.
Yeah, I get what he's going for because a lot of quarterbacks do come from non-traditional football powers. Like we talked about Drew Brees earlier, Purdue, like Big Ben, Miami of Ohio, even Aaron Rodgers, Cal. Cal's not a football power. But I don't know that that's true. If you watched USC this year, their offensive line was bad.
Horrendous. Their defense, and like Mel said, they didn't have any. Did Eli Manning have tremendous adversity? I don't remember tremendous adversity.
I don't know. Outside of living, you know, in his brother's shadow, I don't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a different situation. His brother and his father's shadow because he went to where his father went.
Right.
And I mean that SC defense. Woohoo!
No,
bad.
as bad as there was in college football.
I'm not saying that, you know, he was playing at Boise State or some directional school, but Caleb Williams didn't have it super easy.
And you know what else I don't like about that? You never know what adversity people are going through behind the scenes. Like to say this is a kid that's never had adversity, unless you know that factually, that's not fair to say.
Yeah, and he had Jerry Rice's kid, who'll probably be a day two, maybe three pick, but right. how many USC...
Well, Addison was gone. I mean, the year he had that great season where Mel was talking about him being the first overall pick after that year. Yeah.
And one of like the highest graded quarterbacks in the history of the NFL draft.
I mean, how many USC guys you see mocked in the first two or three rounds here?
Not a lot.
No.
Yeah, but by the way, though, that doesn't necessarily mean like the adversity stuff too is. I mean, you can always like, I mean, forget just not going to a powerhouse school. Like Tom Brady used the adversity as, you know, I'm a 6th round draft pick. I had to wait till the 6th round. Losing his job in college to Drew Henson. Like, you can... It doesn't always have to be a certain kind of adversity.
Right.
Sure.
I mean, maybe you had an issue at home. Maybe an issue with your parents. Maybe, I mean, there is no way that anybody goes through life with no adversity. No. There's just no way.
And by the way, he's going to an offense with real tools.
Right. Now, I would have some question as to how he handles the adversity.
Sure.
Like, when he, you know, climbs into
the sand. That's different.
And cries...
Sure.
He cries with his mom. I don't know how well that will play.
Right. So Greg McElroy was not the only one to bring up some questions or have some harsh words for a quarterback prospect. Merrill Hodge was on the Patriots Talk podcast, and he is not a fan of Drake May.
The May kid will get you fired. I wouldn't touch him. Processing and accuracy. I cannot think of somebody as erratic as I have seen. I mean, in every level. You know, people bring up Josh Allen all of the time. Mm-hmm. They are 100% incorrect.
Not a fan. Not a fan. So I bring that to you, Dave, because I've outlined the situation off air, but I'll bring it on air now. If there's a world, I don't know how likely it is, but if there's a world where Drake May's on the board at 6, your thoughts?
I want him.
Okay.
Absolutely. And again,
the Giants take him at 6.
Like, there's no way he's going to last to 6 with the Giants. I'd find that very hard to believe.
No, I think that there's a lot of people that I've heard, I try to consume everything for the show, that have this idea that in most drafts, we see where there's one quarterback that ends up sliding.
You think he could be the guy?
Well, it feels like Mel just told us that it was going to be Caleb and Jaden Daniels.
Are going to go 1-2.
And now it seems like McCarthy's...
Shooting up the board a little bit.
Listen, and the more you hear about Drake May, is
there's enough
of a
people
project.
With opinions with podcasts that you're going to be able to find. I mean, people don't like Caleb Williams. People don't like Drake May. Nobody likes J.J. McCarthy. People are down on Bo Nix. There's issues with Penix. You're going to find people that love and hate every quarterback.
But the other
here.
Thing I would say to McElroy, too, it's not necessarily like the adversity that you go through. We all go through some sort of adversity, right? Like maybe you have like one of these unbelievable college careers or whatever it is where that doesn't seem like. There is much adversity. Like Trevor Lawrence had an unbelievable, I mean, I don't know how many games he lost in high school, was the number one guy to college and everything else, but I think the most important thing is just like once you take that next step, once you're the first overall pick, how do you handle that? How do you handle the pressure? How do you handle like realizing that I still have to get better? Like just because you get drafted first overall doesn't mean you've arrived. You know what I mean? Like it's those guys that become the greatest is because they're never satisfied. Like, yeah, I was a high pick, but that doesn't matter.
Right.
I still have to get better. I think that's a more important thing.
I agree.
It's a good point. I'll take Caleb Williams on my team any day.
Right.
Any day.
But there's people that don't like Caleb Williams. There's people that don't like Jaden Daniels. Yeah. I mean, you could find anybody across the board. There's always going to be people that, you know, dislike some of these guys.
The fear is that they're so talented that they don't put in the work to make sure they stay the best.
Like I think that's important.
Like Michael Vick, how awesome he was, and you ask him now, like, what was your biggest regret? Well, my playbook was in the trunk because I was just so good I could go on strictly talent. Hmm. Like, that's not going to get it done at the next level, just talent.
Mm-mm.
So, are you familiar with Jonathan India?
The infielder from the Reds.
That's right.
Yeah. Was he rookie of the year?
I think so.
If he wasn't rookie of the year, he was certainly up there. Yeah.
You guys are very smart. So, he was on foul territory, and he spoke about his father's priorities when it comes to watching his own games.
Watches the Met games and then tapes the Reds games. So he doesn't even watch the Reds games live. He fast-forwarded it through the whole game, records my bats and sends them to me. It's so funny. He watches the Met games and then like at 11 o'clock at night, watching our game. I'm like, dude, the game's over, man. Like, and I'm like, hey, what'd you think about my at-bat? He goes, I didn't see it yet.
That's very odd. And that comes from me. Now, what the father needs is the two TV setup.
He could use the two, but he wants to be focused on the Mets, though.
Well, you put the Mets on the big TV, right, put your son on a little TV, and then when he comes up to bat, then you jump onto that game.
Yeah, but maybe his idea is that I want to be so focused on the Mets and I want to be so focused on the Reds that I can't do both.
That's odd.
Well, listen, Saquon Barkley's dad said he'd root for the Jets.
There are more people
over,
like
over the Eagles.
There's more people out like Dave.
No, over the Giants.
Yeah, over the Giants.
But now over the Eagles.
Well, now over the Eagles now, but... Yeah, that's wild.
He was NL Rookie of the Year in 2021, by the way.
There's more people out there like you, David.
That's right.
Give credit
Maybe
for.
What I'm doing is I'm giving those people
a platform. Yeah.
Like, you always thought it was odd to be like this. No. Put my arm around you and I'll welcome you into the crazy world of fandom. That's what we do.
It is what you do. You know what Wayne Randazzo does? You remember him.
The old Mets announcer.
Yeah, well, now he's the television play-by-play man for the Angels. Nice gig. And
he used to have like the old style sounding voice.
Yeah.
I liked Wayne Randazzo. I thought he was good.
I like his voice. So he has a problem.
Sounds like Brockmire.
Yeah. I like that show.
It's a nice show.
So the Angels have a rookie named Nolan Shanawell. And he had a 36-game hit streak. He had that hit streak ended without playing in a game. So you're saying...
Wait, what?
Yeah, you're saying, what are you saying?
Yeah, explain.
So Major League Baseball went back and retroactively ruled one of Shanawell's singles from a couple of games ago, which is odd, an error. And if you watch it, it looked like a single. It did not look like an error. That means retroactively. Like
they went back and they turned it over.
They overruled the scorer like days later. So 36-game hit streak. Over. And that led Mr. Wayne Randazzo to take aim at Major League Baseball.
Negative story after negative story, scandal after scandal, a fiasco in Oakland. You have these ridiculous looking jerseys. You have the MLBPA challenging the league about the pitch clock today because of constant pitcher injuries. And yet, not to mention your global superstar is embroiled in a betting scandal. But on top of all of that, you have a young player trying to make a name for himself who has come up and reached base safely in every single game that he has played. And the league allows this scoring change to go on to end his streak, kill this story, a positive story that's happening in Major League Baseball. It is an absurdity.
Wayne Randazzo, very comfortable.
We've got to pay the fiddler.
it's an on-base streak, though. It's not a hitting streak.
Right.
Right.
Very comfortable.
Because he's only got two hits.
I understand why he's mad.
He has two hits, but he's reached base every game?
Nolan Shanawell, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's currently hitting 065.
But what's his on-base percentage? 500?
Must be pretty decent.
Yeah. He's freaking out about a guy that has two hits?
He's not happy.
Wait, I'm so confused. I thought you said he had a 36-game hitting streak.
So sorry, it must be...
No, he's got eight walks. He's got two hits, eight walks, and his on-base percentage is 268.
It goes back to last year.
It's Corey Seager who's got 36-game hitting streak, and everyone's celebrating.
Yeah.
That's a little misguided from...
on-base streak.
Okay. Because
He played 29 games last season.
Yeah. And you know people with the on-base streaks, they can't get enough of those. Right?
Cass Matsui.
Three home runs in a row opening day.
Pete Fairbanks. He's a reliever for the Rays. You remember, I think it was 2 weeks ago, we somehow got talking about the humidors. And how two stadiums have them.
Yes, the Diamondbacks and the Rockies.
So the latter of which you just mentioned, Pete Fairbanks has a very big problem with the baseballs that are coming out of the humidor in Colorado.
Maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. We marked that down all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes. And that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it.
No excuses. They were horrible.
And you can write that.
I like how he said horrible.
Maybe you didn't like some of the balls that were coming in.
Yeah, they were horrible. We marked that down all caps for me. Horrible. No excuse, though. Didn't throw strikes, and that's what happens when you don't throw strikes. You get punished for it.
Can we isolate the first horrible, and that way when something terrible happens, we can play that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Horrible.
That's coming from the heart. Like, he really meant that.
Yeah, horrible. I know. You could hear it actually came, like, down from his chest area. Like,
it was like when you were choking the other day.
That's right. Yeah. On a fly or a gnat.
That wasn't good. I was concerned about you.
You were not concerned?
Yeah.
It was because it was after the fact. Had you been there at the time.
Oh, I had been really concerned.
You would have been very upset with what happened.
I mean, if I'm just sitting there and then I look over and see and hear this.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Horrible.
Yeah, they're horrible.
Oh, those bugs.
There's a lot going on with that clip.
Yep.
A lot.
That's one of those, like, years down the road, it'll be misconstrued about what was actually
really
happening.
Really? What are you going to play it? And people are going to think what, RJ?
That you were choking on
a banana.
Popcorn.
Popsicle.
You mean popcorn?
Popcorn.
Yeah.
Popsicle.
Horrible.
Horrible.
Chad Ochocinco was a guest on the Roommate Show, which I highly recommend. Very good.
That's the Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart vehicle.
Yeah, it's
nice.
Very good. So, Chad Johnson, I don't know if you, when he was Chad Johnson, he's Ochocinco now, but when he was Chad Johnson, he was pretty well known for his diet.
McDonald's.
All McDonald's. He was very serious about this. He didn't drink.
It's disgusting. You ever see that movie, Super Size Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where the guy eats only McDonald's. And they're like, you're going to die.
It was Big Macs.
So,
Ochocinco, for every meal.
He doesn't drink, drugs, none of that. But that's his vice, I guess. All McDonald's all the time.
Yep.
So, Josh Hart was talking about how he was, you know, trying to get some energy going for a game, and he was with Ochocinco that day and had some advice for him.
I'm like, yeah, I was tired, bro. He was like, what you eat today? I'm like, grilled chicken, rice, you know, some healthy stuff. He's like, that's your problem. Go to McDonald's, get you some McDonald's, take you half a Viagra before the game.
And you're good.
And you good.
Wait,
that's
what?
Why he was tired.
Wait.
Half a Viagra.
I think you're burying the lead here.
Get the blood flowing.
It's not the McDonald's.
No, you open up those blood vessels.
So that's
and then you walk around the court with an erection.
No,
that's
Strumming. So I didn't
Devonta
cut it.
Sabonis be like, oh, hey, how you doing?
So I didn't cut it, but both of those angles were brought up. Josh Hart said, hey, you know, doesn't that cause a little bit of too much blood flow? And Ochocinco went on to say, that's why it's half. And like Rick said, gets the blood flowing and it actually gives you a boost of energy. I wanted to ask Rick, does this check out, you know, anyone who did this?
Before a game, no. I did play with a guy who actually took one the night before and then had a situation where...
Don't they say
that
four?
That sounds horrifying.
Yeah, four to six hours.
4 to 6 hours. Yeah. He probably had to call that number.
That was well past the 6 hours.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, there was a movie that happened in.
I'm sure it happened. Sure
No, I'm serious. It was,
that sound you made was also in the movie.
Is it called the movie or is it called a film, Dave?
No, it's a movie and it was with Chris Rock.
It's saved on the
phone.
You know
what the name of the movie was?
The text folder?
I Think I Love My Wife was the name of the movie.
Right.
Yeah, I bet it was.
Starring John Kelly. Starring
what?
George Clooney.
I would be an elite porn director. No. You know what? Because you guys always have your minds in the gutter. It was a legitimate movie.
I remember that movie.
It was with Chris Rock, and I believe Kerry Washington was in it as well, and he took a Viagra, and it wouldn't go down.
Mm. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. I don't know. I've never taken anything.
Well, you got to stick a needle in it to...
You got to release the blood. That's what they did. Yeah. In the ambulance, after they came, they had to release the blood.
You know who else?
Seek medical help.
You know who else was in it?
Tara Reid and her bosom popping out.
No. You know who else was in that movie?
I don't.
Someone at ESPN.
Really?
Stephen A. Smith.
I was going to say, it seems like a Stephen A. vehicle.
Yep. He was like one of the friends.
Was Quentin Grimes in it?
Quentin nice. Grimes, no. He was on the Knicks at that point.
Okay. Yeah.
All right.
I got a deal with some dude named Hartenstein.
Taking an Uber to and from your own bank robbery.
Did it happen?
Next thing you know, he calls the chicken police on me.
In Florida.
The Florida Panthers, I was coaching.
Yeah,
you don't care.
No.
Still doesn't care. So, this story I actually found borderline troubling. But I have to bring it to you.
Where'd you get it from?
I can't tell you. Might give it away.
You can't tell us where you got it? Like, who gave it to you?
Well, no one gave it to me. I found it.
Okay. This is your own baby.
I found it in the New York Post, if you must know.
Because oftentimes you will be like, oh, I got
somebody.
This from, you know.
No, this is an original.
Okay.
So, identity theft. Real thing. But I must tell you the story. Of a former hot dog vendor.
Uh-oh.
So, this man's a vendor, and he was living out of his van. There's actually somebody in the city who has, like, a spot, like this city. This is not where this story comes from, but has a spot marked out, lives out of his van because he doesn't want to lose a spot.
But there's a man that lives in the city that
Lives in a van.
Lives in a van solely so he can keep the spot?
There was. Yeah. Okay. I can send you that story. That's not this one, though. In this one, as you can imagine, probably does a lot of cash transactions, not exactly a, you know, a W-2 kind of job, being a hot dog vendor. So this man...
Well, I will tell you this, though. A lot of hot dog vendors now take, like, other forms of payment.
Oh, it's on the books. Mm-hmm. So this man, though, he went to jail for 428 days. And he was inside a hospital, a psychiatric hospital, for 147 additional Uh-oh. Days. Why, you might ask? And what does this have to do with anything? So he had his identity stolen.
Oh, no.
And he was the only one that knew. Bit of a loner, this man. And he went one day to do some banking and couldn't get into any accounts, couldn't get into anything. Had his identity stolen, couldn't answer any of his own security questions, even though he knew all his information, because a different man stole his identity and changed all security questions to his liking. So this poor man, because he's talking and telling everyone...
You must feel like you're losing your mind if that's the case.
Well, there you go. So he is going on and on and on. He goes, no, you don't understand. This is me. To the point where they actually got the police involved saying, this man is actually now trying to steal someone else's identity.
Oh, my God.
And he got sent to jail for over a year and in a psych ward for a total of a year and a half. Because
why would they send him to a psych ward?
Because he kept telling everyone.
He's like, I'm Joe Smith. They're like, oh, God.
That's exactly right. So this person who stole his identity in the time that he had it got married and actually had a child and was working under the name. So
how did they figure out that it wasn't this guy?
He stole his entire life.
Yeah. So eventually,
this guy, not only did he steal his life, he had him imprisoned for telling people that was his life.
That's right. So hot dog vendor eventually gets out and finds someone to take up his case and says, all right, we're going to match your DNA with your biological father. So then they consult.
They had to use DNA?
That's right.
Oh, my God.
So this is after he's been in jail. So then they get with the guy who is the perp here, who has stolen the identity, and that's finally when they are able to link up that, no, the hot dog vendor, this is who he really is, and they get it all sorted out, finally.
There's got to be some kind of reparations for this guy,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah. Well,
retribution, at well, the very least.
I think that's still being sorted out. But they've switched places now. Now the guy that stole his identity, now he's in jail, and the other guy's out of jail.
Well, that's good. Now, he's got to go to jail for at least 429 days.
Oh, I'd think minimum, yeah. Yeah. So I ask you, did this happen in Florida?
See, this is probably this
it
is probably just
too elaborate.
This is probably just Tuesday in Florida. Like this is like, oh, I haven't seen you in a while. That's right. I've been.
I gotta tell you, I haven't seen many hot dog vendors
in Florida. So this is gonna have to be a major.
Yeah, but you know what?
I'd venture to say this is out of the country.
No. I would say this country.
I'm saying not Florida.
Not Florida. I'm gonna say. Somewhere western area of this country is where I would go.
I'm going to say not Florida. Feel good about it.
Okay.
I as well.
Definitely not Florida, though.
But I would say this country.
So you're all correct.
Yes.
This country, Dave, pretty good. I will tell you southwest. Care to, only because you led us down this path.
Vegas.
Pretty close. New Mexico.
How about that?
How does that happen?
Yeah, true story.
This poor guy. So he's got to wind up getting money, right?
I'd hope so. I would hope so. But
so he's like, he's in a psych ward. They have him in like the straitjacket. He's like, I'm telling you, I'm Steve.
you laugh. That's kind of how it
And they're like, this guy's crazy.
this Steve. Okay.
Who's the
okay? Okay, Steve.
Who's is it? Albert Breer, the NFL personality, likes to say, "There will be lawyers."
That's Andrew Brandt.
Andrew Brandt, rather.
Yeah. There will be lawyers.
There will be, and there are lawyers, and that is DHIF.
Like that's here's what I'll say. I could see them making like a feature movie out of it, like a full movie out of this.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
It's an unbelievable
story. I'm interested
story.
To read the actual story. It's wild.
I mean, Dave told you about the movies he watches earlier. So
right. I think I love my wife. It's a real movie.
Hot dog vendor would make sense in his movies.
You know, you guys.
How did they get the DNA? This is how. Cue the choking sound.
You guys done?
RJ could be... Oh, there it is. There it is.
I got a text. All right, forget it. You guys stink. Tell me when you're done. I'll let you guys go ahead. You laugh, you giggle, you send it back and
the
forth.
The chance where your dink isn't perfect.
All right, we're done.
You sure?
How was jail, Steve?
Oh, man, I locked myself out of my phone.
What did you wear while you were in prison?
I'm the fat second thought of the station.
No, that's not what I
wanted. How did you lock yourself up?
Too many attempts, I got so much going on.
Too many attempts
at the password.
Yeah, exactly. Three attempts. I didn't get it.
Three attempts.
Mm-hmm.
So now what?
I gotta wait a minute.
15 minutes.
But I was trying to look at this. So I got a text from someone that said, "Why would anybody lie about being a hot dog vendor?"
No,
that's not exactly something that people lie about.
No, he didn't lie about his occupation. He just figured this is an easy mark to rip off his identity because he doesn't do a lot of work that he would notice.
He probably took out a ton of money in his name.
No, it took out tons of loans as well, yeah.
Oh, really?
Tons, yeah. Ruined his life.
This poor guy. There's going to be retribution for this guy.
And a movie.
I would watch that movie. You laugh. They did a movie called, like, Men Who Stare at Goats. You ever see that? That was George Clooney was in that movie. They thought like guys in war used to be able to like telekinetically like disrupt the opposition.
You are
like staring at them.
You are very familiar with George's catalog.
She was in a movie where she like had a child abducted, Chang-a-ling or something. All right, are we done? Raymond, can we stop here, please?
I mean, we can.
What else you got?
Nah, I'm good for now.
We have so many that you can barely read what's in it because they're so clumped together.
Yeah, I actually had to do some condensing a couple days ago.
No, we need a new page.
I want
my son back!
Changeling.
Are we done? Are we done?
Man, the staring goats.
Look it up!
Yes, that was a George Clooney.
I'm telling you, it was a big release. You know what the problem is?
I remember the trailers. I thought, wait, is this legitimate?
You know what, honestly, and this is true, and then we'll break. The honest to goodness true problem is I'm too smart. I'm
they
too
did a
intelligent.
Movie called, like, Men Who Stare at Goats.
I'm too bright. I'm too smart. And my level of intellect dazzles the three of you every day.
Far above ours.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
So far above we can't
I got
even
the working buddy of wits who played the NHLs.
Buddy Newitz?
No, a buddy of wits.
Oh.
I got the working title for the movie, the Hot Dog Deception.
You laugh all you want. When they make this movie,
right,
you'll be like, you know what? That was his idea.
Great idea, Dave.
Back in the day. All right, let's break. We'll come back. Aaron.
Yes. That was Dave in the movie.
I could play the title role. Aaron Rock. Are you done?
No.
Men Who Stare at Goats.
Look at RJ.
I have to involve the hot dog.
Look at RJ. He's tearing.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you have that fruit, have a Viagra.
But I don't need the Viagra.
Flying.
The fruit on its own made me feel good.
I'm just saying for that extra little.
The last thing you want me to do is have Viagra.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that it goes.
Could. Could.
I mean, I take the sweatshirt off. Who knows?
That's right.
And I don't want to do that to you.
I understand. Have you ever had a Viagra? I never had one. You have. Your delayed response means that you clearly have.
I'm surprised. I'm surprised that would be a thought. Like, I was never told that. Like, I've told you the story before about my first pro game where guys are passing around energy pills. And I was like, oh, what are those? And they told me, like, so I took some of those. Like, give you a little added extra energy. I never heard the, when I was playing.
The Viagra?
For a game.
Right. I don't know.
Interesting.
I have no idea.
I mean, that's a football thing.
All right. Here's Aaron Rodgers on the I Can Fly pod. And we'll get to your calls as well. 1-800-919-3776. And getting hurt made him wonder if his career, in fact, was done.
I was heartbroken on September 11th. In the locker room thinking my career might be over and that's how I'm going to go out. After all the beauty in the summer and Hard Knocks and a new team and just being in New Jersey and the excitement, talking with our amazing fan base and just feeling just the energy and the momentum building and then that. I look back now and so much changed in my life for the better. And I often have a hard time with people who say, everything happens for a reason. Just got to trust it. Sometimes I call on that.
Yeah.
Part of it is the ego wanting things to just be a little bit easier sometimes.
Well, I'm sure that in the moment and the rehab and everything and missing the year and watching Zach Wilson, I'm sure all that was awful for him. But now in retrospect, and it's a year of your life that you're at the tail end of your career that's got to stink to miss. But now, I think he's probably it's a motivating factor for him. And I imagine you're going to see a very good version of Aaron Rodgers.
Well, we need a very good version of Aaron Rodgers. I don't know if it's... I don't think it's as easy as he's making it sound. Like all the things that you, or as easy as you just made it sound, like all the things that are involved with the actual injury, all the work he puts in before the injury.
Right.
To run out with the American flag.
I don't think it was easy at all.
No, I know, but like there's a lot of people that would still say, I would have rather, like for all the things that like were beneficial during this time where I'm rehabbing and all the things I learned from always, keep them.
Of course.
Don't need him. I would rather play.
Of course you'd rather play, and the fan base would rather he plays, and he would rather play. I'm just saying, like, sometimes you go through the muck and mire what real life offers, and you come out on the other side, and you're a better version of yourself because of it. Like, he seems like a guy that really looks at the positivity.
Right, he's very introspective.
Right, and he wants to kind of, this happened for a reason.
I guess my point was I would have a hard time finding many positives.
And I'm sure there are not a lot of positives, but I think you have to. Like, you know, like I do that all the time with stuff. It's like there's not a lot of positive, but if you have to find a positive in every situation, otherwise you'll get defeated by life.
I understand what you're saying, and especially to get through something, you know, like a season-ending injury when you had all the hopes and expectations and everything else.
Right.
Just like, but the notion that like everything happens for a reason. Hopefully that's true. Like this happened for a reason. He learned a lot about
himself.
But maybe
it is.
And made him better, and he's, you know, he's better off for it. I just would be, I don't know, like having gone through all of this myself with the injuries and everything else. Yeah, like, I mean, there are things I learned along the way, but if I could have went back.
Of course.
And not had the injury, you can keep all the little extra things that I've learned.
Still not over how crushing getting injured was 4 plays into the season.
Did a darkness retreat. I came out of the darkness, and basically my time in Green Bay was up. I did ayahuasca, and then a week later I got traded to the Jets. And I have this incredible off-season experience in a new city, in a new town, with new teammates, a new organization, an owner for the first time, and really falling back in love with the game that I first fell in love with when I was 5 years old. And it was absolutely beautiful and special and deep and rich and yummy and just... incredible. And then one of the most heartbreaking nights of my life when I played 4 plays. Talk about an ego death. That's what it was.
And you can understand that. I mean, to be so ready and so geeked up and so motivated for the season.
Is that an ego death? I mean, is that an ego death?
I don't know if it's an ego. Well, I guess for him it was. I mean, he's being honest with you. I think that's a strange phrase, right? Ego death, because it shouldn't be. I mean, it was the team. It was, but yeah, you know what? There's some ego in everything,
right? But I don't know if it's. I mean, would you like? Would I say that you know my ego took a shot because I got hurt? No, I mean I missed the season. Like it wasn't like
for him.
Like my intention was to go get hurt.
For him, it was.
Well, listen. I mean, his mindset is special.
I mean, listen. He's not normal. Right, and I don't even mean that as a bad
thing. No, but I think
thing.
Part of like this new version of Aaron Rodgers, like I've seen, like when I first met him, is not the same person that he is now. But there is, I even heard Jordan Poyer talking about this. Like the whole point of going and doing the ayahuasca and these retreats and everything else is to have this newfound gratitude in your life, right? To be thankful for whatever it is, your family, your career, all these different things. So I guess as part of that mindset, you would say, okay, you know, this happened, but let's make sure that I take. All of it, like, make sure I get something positive out of it.
Well, you have to. If you can't take something positive out of every situation, it's going to be very tough because there's a lot of negativity in life.
I understand that. But I don't know if I would, this would be one of the situations where I would take much positive out of.
Well, fair.
I just burnt the year of my career.
And I don't know that I would use the phrase an ego, you know, whatever it was. I mean, ego is it's very kind of a selfish-sounding word to me.
Well, but not even that. Like, if you play bad... Like, if you go in with, like, if this season turned out where he was, you know, all the things that he expected, all the work that he put in, and he plays a season and he stinks, I can understand how that would affect your ego. Like, it wasn't good.
Right.
But to just, like, to have a freak accident where you take a step with someone draped all over you and your Achilles pops, I don't know. Like, Adam, does that affect your ego?
I guess for him it does. And also when you're, and you know this, like, when your whole being is tied up in a certain thing. Right? Like when it's just like your whole life is not whether they're right or wrong, like your whole life is hockey. And that's like.
Well, my identity, your identity becomes.
Okay. So when your whole identity is radio or right. A sport or your family or whatever it is, and that gets changed or there's a negative there, maybe it does affect your ego. I don't know.
Well, I think he's moved away from that mindset, though. I think that's why he has all these other interests outside of football to make sure that his identity isn't just football.
Right. I agree with that. And he did say he's coming back as a better version of himself.
So much happened in my life the last 6 months that never would have happened had I been healthy. I wish things had been different for myself, for the organization, for our fans, for so many players I love playing with. But I'm also very grateful for the many lessons and the, once again, the ego death. And the phoenix rising from the ashes, a better version of myself.
I'd say what, like him or dislike him, he's an interesting guy.
No, he is. And he's got a very interesting perspective on his life, his career, and everything else. I mean, maybe it's kind of just having the ability now to, like he does mention going into the darkness retreat where he was, what do you say, 90% retired before he went in.
Right.
Comes out, finds out he can't imagine not being, being in the NFL and playing football, which is, it's... After a darkness retreat, I haven't been a part of a darkness retreat, but like you could think that, and that maybe is what you talk yourself into, but now having the opportunity to actually be away from football for a full year, right after you fall back in love with it.
Yep.
Then they have it ripped away from you again, I guess.
It's got to be torturous. And then this is the one that made RJ chuckle on being considered for vice president for RFK Jr.
That's what I feel like Bobby can give us, is that hope that life can be different. And just the fact that I was mentioned, I'm sure people were like, oh, he has no, political experience. How's that worked out so far? How's that worked out in our government? All these bums who've been in government forever, who are insider trading like crazy, lining their pockets during their terms and post-career. How's that working out?
Well, that's a fair point with that.
Sounds like he was a little interested.
Whatever. I mean, he should have probably squashed it quicker.
I know, but I think you understate the kind of honor that would be. If it was something you were that interested in, and you had that strongly, like you were that opinionated about
right.
it, and have done all the research to bring up the things that he brings up, especially with all the other stuff with the medicine and everything else, and then you got someone says to you, hey, would you consider being my running mate? That's a humongous deal.
Yeah, it's a big honor.
As you get towards the end of your other career, hey, how am I going to fall off this football career? And someone offers you the chance to be
the only thing is, and I really don't want to get political, and I don't think I am overly, like, he would have no chance to win.
No, right, but I'm just saying, like, if that was something you were interested in, to be offered the opportunity, it's kind of out of nowhere,
out of left field, yeah. I didn't even know he had the desire to get into that. Nicholas Cara tweets, an ego death is a hallucinogenic term often associated with hitting rock bottom while tripping. So given that you're talking about Aaron Rodgers, likely that's the metaphor that he's...
So that was his rock bottom.
Right.
Yeah, right. That makes sense.
Okay. So there you go.
It got to be even harder just because you fell back in love with it. You know what I mean? It's like something
you fell back in love. Now it's ripped away. Maybe that's why he says, I don't want to play just 1 year. I want to go for multiple years.
Because he realizes how much he misses it.
Yeah.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
I know you saw this. This is not great news. Let's hear the manager, Kodai Senga, going to the 60-day IL.
Yeah, obviously needing that roster spot and where he's at. You know, not a setback, nothing wrong with him. He just... You know, we knew it was going to take some time, and with him still throwing flat grounds and things like that, he hasn't even get on the mound. So it's gonna be a few weeks before we see him. So that was a move.
I guess it makes sense just to open up the roster spot, right. But I guess
bookkeeping.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it just hammers home the point that you're not going to have him for quite some time still.
Well, if he's just throwing from flat ground, I mean, he's got to go through a whole ramp up to be ready.
Right. How about that Julio Teheran situation? You sign him?
Tejete?
Yeah, and now
Julieta,
and now he's gone.
Yeah, they should have signed Jordan Montgomery.
Oh, they should have signed Jordan Montgomery,
and they probably should have made the decision that, you know, Vientos isn't it, or
it feels like they know Vientos isn't it.
Well, right, but I mean, they waited so long in the process now that they, you know, because it was financial reasons, because we have a budget, that now we don't have JD Martinez because he's dealing with the back.
Right, and that's going to take him some time to get back and get healthy.
Which probably could have been figured out had you signed him earlier in spring training.
Well, I think he probably would have been fine, right, if he had gotten going a little bit, even if he had a
setback.
Sounds
like he dealt with it last year, but yeah, you have time
but they
now.
Didn't want to spend real money, and they got him for nothing, really, in essence.
Well, which is what actually pisses me off the most.
Is because they didn't want to go ahead and spend the money?
Spend the money. I believe in what David Stearns is doing. You told me yesterday, I don't even remember if it was on the show.
It was on the show.
That someone you talked to said that this would be the guy.
Someone I played pickleball with the other day is closely involved with Major League Baseball and said if he was an owner of a team, David Stearns would be his first call.
Okay, so I'm going to believe what you say, buy in,
right?
And what the plan was, I'll buy into it. He knows what he's doing. This is going to be the plan. And it was because, hey, we got to see if Vientos can play, all the different things. But you knew once Kodai Senga went down, right, how long this was potentially going to be. Now he's on the 60-day IL. You need some help in the rotation. So you go and bring in Julio Teheran, who last one start, when Jordan Montgomery's just sitting there.
Right.
Because of money.
That's exactly right.
It's not going to affect the plan.
No. I mean, you could sign Jordan Montgomery to a couple-year deal.
No, but even if it was a one-year deal.
Yeah, but why would you do that? He's not going to go bad in a year. Like, there's no way you can't use Jordan Montgomery even when this thing is kind of rebuilt and ready to go. He's a good pitcher. You know he can handle New York, and you know in a big moment, it's not too much for him.
Yeah, and he's a lefty. I don't understand it.
It really doesn't make all that much sense.
I mean, it's a proven... I mean, on a staff where you had a lot of question marks, like hopefully Severino works out, hopefully Mania works out.
Right.
This was not like, you know, Jordan Montgomery can pitch.
And you know you're going to have injuries. Like, you know along the way that are going to go down.
When Senga comes back, he's most comfortable with extra rest anyway. You're going to need a six-man rotation.
Right. But, I mean, look, you're starting Adrian Hauser, who's fine.
But why are we letting them off the hook? This was not a, hey, we can't do this because it's going to affect our plan. This was, we have a budget now.
It's
and the
odd.
Reason we have this budget and we're spending this much money is because the other moves that we made last year didn't work.
We're still paying those off.
Therein lies the issue. Wes in East Hanover. Hi, Wes. You're on 98.7, pal.
Good morning, fellas, and good morning, Lloyd. So, a couple quick things. One, Augusta National is the prettiest thing my eyes have ever seen in real life. It is immaculate. So this week is special in that. And then secondly, we're talking about thank yous the other day. I don't think I ever said thank you to Rick offering the ride because I was so taken aback by that on Friday. So just wanted to make sure I go ahead and get the thank you out.
You know what I respect about this, Wes and Rick, is that he recognized his mistake, his misstep, and he calls and he remedies it. And nobody had to point it out.
This is why we love Wes.
Nobody had to point it out to
him. This is why I feel good about getting Wes the ride.
It's very nice.
And I appreciate it. So here was my football point. My football point is about Bo Nix. Dave, I understand your apprehension to Bo Nix because as an Auburn guy, he came in, his father's an Auburn legend. He came in like he was supposed to rule the world. And he was a gamer. Like, we won games his freshman year that we never should have won because of him, but he was never the most talented quarterback. And so what I think you would have in a quarterback like Bo Nix is you see the heart that the kid has. And if you couple that with some coaching and Brian Daboll, you've got the only chance I see of him succeeding in the NFL is with the Giants.
No, I don't think that. There's no way that you can convince me that he would only be good with the Giants. You tell me a guy like Sean Payton wouldn't be able to have some success with him. There's no way that you really believe that 31 teams he'd fail with the Giants could somehow magically make it work with him.
I don't believe in him personally. I watched him enough that I don't think he succeeds without a spectacular coach. And I'm not convinced that Peyton is a great coach. And I've been on the record with that a few years ago with Peyton and McCarthy, which one is a better coach. I think they are relatively similar. I understand that the mind of Peyton is better. But when it comes to getting the most out of their offensive talent, I see Daboll getting more juice out of the squeeze than Peyton. That's just my
okay. Listen, I if they – whoever they draft – and whoever they determine, even though I don't love Bo Nix, if it in fact is Bo Nix, I'll be okay with it. Just because, like, I had no belief in Gettleman. So I thought everything Gettleman did was going to backfire because he's such a buffoon and was so incapable. So if he would have taken Bo Nix, I'm like, I know he's going to be bad. Then he'd wind up being bad. I do have a real belief that these guys are really good, especially with the offensive and quarterback position, that if they take Nix, who I don't love, they'll be able to manipulate him into being a pretty good NFL quarterback.
Right, but I think, I mean, you've seen Bo Nix play.
Yeah.
And if it were up to you...
I don't love him.
And you're probably not trading up into the, you know, trading up to go get him.
I don't love him.
Yeah. Listen, I don't disagree with you, and I think, for me, it's just when you're at the point, as a fan, that you're at, where it's the guy we have isn't it, and now we have the sixth overall pick, with quarterbacks at the top of this draft that feel like, and now not all of them are going to work. I understand that. It's a crapshoot. That have the ability to be legitimate franchise quarterbacks.
Right.
That can lift the franchise. Bo Nix doesn't feel like one of those guys.
He does not.
Like, he doesn't excite you like someone like that would.
But can he be good? Can he be good enough that if you put
I understand that, but you have, when given the two scenarios, where it's fall in love with this guy, find a way to get him at six, or we're so in love, try to get to three. That excites you because you feel like Brian Daboll knows, Joe Shane knows that this guy can transform your organization.
Right.
And can be, like, his ceiling is at the level of one of the really elite quarterbacks in the NFL. This is more like, hey, we realize we need a quarterback. We like Bo Nix, and we could turn him into a good quarterback.
Okay, but why would that be bad?
And well, I'm not saying it's bad.
Listen, I'd prefer the star quarterback as well, but if they can take Bo Nix and turn him into a, he's gonna win games and win playoff games and can lead you to good places. I mean, and plus, if you draft Bo Nix, you're probably going to have a stud receiver that goes along with him, right? At six, you're going to take Malik Nabers. I would move up for the quarterback, too. I would mortgage next year's draft capital. If I love Drake May and I think he's going to be a transformational kind of quarterback, that's what I would do.
No, I just feel like you already have a quarterback that leaves you wanting more. Right? You're always looking for the better. Like, there's got to be a better option than this.
Right.
Is Bo Nix going to be one of those guys? Yeah, he's good.
I don't know. I would say probably not. I would say probably not.
Like, can we find someone better than this? Because he's not one of the best in the league.
Well, you just heard Mel was with us, and he has Williams, Daniels, May, McCarthy, and then flip a coin between Penix and Bo Nix.
Now, listen, I mean, Brian Daboll could be so good that he could make it, I mean, he could turn Bo Nix into a great quarterback.
Do you think Brian Daboll is
that
good?
And you put the right pieces around him?
Do you think he's that good that Bo Nix on another team is meh? On the Giants, he would be a really good quarterback? You think he's that level of kind of quarterback guru?
Yeah, well, you're still going to have to put the appropriate talent around
him. Of course you are.
Like, I mean, Josh Allen was, you know, was getting better until all of a sudden you put Steph Diggs on the team with him, and then he kind of took that next step. I don't know. When you draft, now second round is different than first round, right? I mean, where they trade up to in Mel's mock, which is the first pick of the second round.
So in Mel's mock, you're dealing next year's two.
Next year's two, that's right.
Right. So you keep next year's one.
Right.
If you move up to get McCarthy or May, I imagine you're going to be dealing next year's one.
At least.
So you think you'd have to give up more than a
Arizona
one to move
says
up
they
to
want,
four?
Arizona says they want
three. Isn't that from Minnesota, though?
They just want three.
Trade to move up two spots? Two additional
Cause it
ones.
Because it won't matter. Because there will be a team that will. Because Minnesota has two first-round picks.
Right.
They give you these two, and then give you next year's one.
You imagine if Arizona moves back to six and still lands Marvin Harrison? Because they could.
If they love Marvin Harrison, that would make more sense than dropping down to 11, because they're going to get Marvin Harrison at 11.
No chance you get him at 11.
No.
But if he's there at four, Giants trade up, they take the quarterback at four.
You're right, depending on what the Chargers do at five.
That's only one spot. From you and from grabbing Marvin Harrison and then stockpiling multiple number one picks.
I understand that.
Be a tremendous win for Arizona.
Yeah, unless the Chargers decide they want Marvin Harrison at five.
Which they, oh boy. So then you settle for Malik Nabers if you're Arizona.
Yeah, that's not settling. But
that's what I'm saying. It's not settling. All right, Knicks, big game tonight. Yankees, tough loss last night. Mets with a matinee today. We get to all of it. 1-800-919-3776. DNR, 98.7 ESPN. And now a word from True Green. Are you ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and most affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn, completely guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com, your dream lawn. Well, it's just around the corner.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.